Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at DairySpeaks and Todd at TDGuardiansKU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
Ready to roll on a Monday. It is another edition of the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast right here at WaitingForNextYear.com and the Evergreen Podcast Network. Matt and Todd with you, brought to you by your friends at the Center for Advanced Dentistry and Breaking Tea. T-shirts at BreakingTea.com/dairy. Todd, it's very easy to just blast the team after yesterday's 4-2 loss to the unnamed team as they split a two-game series, but to be quite honest, I'm gonna actually stay kind of positive today because, you know, it was a lousy week. I mean, they only played four games. They lost 3 out of 4 to the Reds and Detroit. But how do you get in any rhythm when you're rained out every other day?
You know, you and I were discussing this. They've had 7 postponements already, and they've only played 37 games. I mean, when you're in baseball and you're in a season, you're usually playing, what, on average, 26, 28 on every 30 days, maybe?
Correct. Like, yeah, oh, yeah, something. Yeah.
And when these guys are playing 3 games, and then it rains out, and then they're playing 2 more, and then it rains out again. And then all of a sudden, you got 2, you know, that one week, they had 2 doubleheaders in the same week. Like you said, we're not excuse-making here. It's clearly tough to get a rhythm, this week especially, but I don't know. We'll try to keep it as positive as we can, but there's definitely something to it, especially more from the hitter side, I'd say, than from the pitching. You know, you look at some of the guys that are currently going, and like, you know, these things pop up and they get out of, you know, Josh Naylor, for example. Naylor was the hottest hitter on the planet, and then he got COVID and he missed, you know, a week.
Right.
Luckily for us, he came back yesterday. Great to see him back in the lineup, and he went deep. But, like, you don't know. I mean, baseball is such a game of streaks, and, you know, you are sizzling hot for a week, and then you could be ice cold for 2. You just never know. So, yeah, I think you got to be in a rhythm. And, you know, the weather in Cleveland usually doesn't cooperate, but it's been bad everywhere. You know, this weekend was atrocious weather. It was super hot one day. Saturday was, you know, raining, and the wind was insane Saturday night, which I need to get into at some point. But yeah, they'll be fine. You know, listen.
The wind, yeah. Something terrible. The Angels have played 6 more games than the Guardians. They have played 43 games. The Astros have played 42 games. And you're right, we're sitting here at 37. And look, this week wasn't pretty. You can't lose. You can't lose at all to the Reds, let alone 2 home games. And then yesterday, if they would have caught the baseball, whether it was Jose coming over on a grounder from Barnhart that started that one inning, whether it's Naylor, the ball going right through his legs, which the official score actually did the right thing in changing that play from a Grossman RBI single to an error. We can't throw anybody out ever. I mean, you know, God bless Hedges and Maley, but my goodness, people are... Detroit hadn't had a double-digit or multi-stolen base game all year, and they had 2 steals in, like, the first 3 innings yesterday. I mean, that defensively, they've got to clean this up.
Let me ask you a question. Is it more on the pitchers or not holding the guys at first as closely, or do you think it's Hedges and Maley just aren't throwing guys out?
I mean, I think it's on the catchers from what I'm watching. I mean, Plesac always has a good move. Bieber nearly picked off Cameron yesterday. I know Hedges picked off Cameron on a snap throw to first, which was nice. But teams are taking advantage right now. And Hedges is double clutching some throws. Some of his throws are going into center field. Yesterday he dropped the ball. Yesterday he dropped the ball in the exchange. So it's not good. And you know, it's cost them runs because, you know, a two out single or a two out walk, and then the guy moves over, and then a base hit, and then boom, that's a run instead of first and third.
And you and I are fans of Austin Hedges for sure. But if you're gonna basically be an automatic out at the bottom of the order, you got to be better behind the plate. I mean, he's great. He's a great framer. The guys love throwing to him. We've talked about that many times. So that part's not it. But you're right. He's double clutching. He's throwing wide. I don't know what it is, but you know, when it was he and Roberto Perez were the duo the last 2 years, no one was running on us. I feel like in the last 3 weeks, every game I'm looking up and they're just taking their shots, whoever it might be. The Reds ran all over us. The Tigers ran all over us. And it's not just this week. We've seen it a lot. It's a little concerning because, as you said many, many times on this podcast, if this team is going to succeed, you have got to field the ball much, much better than we are. I mean, it is. Listen, we love Naylor here. Obviously, he's rapidly. I said this on the text last night. I think behind Jose, I think he's rapidly becoming my second favorite player. I love him, but he makes these mental mistakes. It seems like at first base, he's dropped. He dropped three that I remember. And you know, the ball. You remember last year, the first game they played him at first base was against the Reds.
The Cincinnati, it cost us the game. Yeah, it cost us the game.
0-0 in the ninth, yes. And with two outs in the ninth, and they had a man on third, I think, and the ball went like literally under Bill Buckner style. And you're going to have to live with that, obviously, because he's your first baseman right now. But here, on the opposite side of it, how about the plays Andrés Giménez made yesterday?
Oh, he's awesome. He's been great. And yesterday's lineup with Ahmed in left field, and he's been hitting, so they moved him up to second, and I have no problem with that, although long-term he's not the guy. But, you know, Giménez at short is the way to go. And it's the best lineup with Miller at second and Naylor at first. But unfortunately, Owen Miller is not a great defender. Giménez is, so that can make up for some of the shortcomings. Jose had a bad day yesterday defensively, that's for sure. And then, you know, Kwan and Straw make every play out there. I mean, Stephen Kwan made a really nice play on one of those Cameron line drives yesterday. Not an easy play.
Right into the sun.
So you're going to have to live with it. It's the youngest team in baseball. I heard Hammy say it yesterday because I had to lower the volume on the home television, not ours, but Detroit's, and I synced to the radio for the last few innings. I couldn't take it anymore, and I had Hammy on, and Hammy was talking about how the average age of the Guardians lineup is actually younger than the average age of AAA lineups. That the average AAA lineup is like 27 years old, and ours is like 25 or something. It's crazy. We're the youngest team in the game, and like the fifth youngest in the history of the game. So you're gonna some of these lumps you're gonna have to take, especially defensively. But to me, it's on the organization when they're putting Ahmed at short and he can't make a play. You know, I mean, he should have been in the outfield in January, and I know they were locked out. Well, you know, have somebody call him and tell him, hey, off the record, go field some fly balls with some friends or something. You know, it drives me crazy. But yeah, Giménez, like you said, did make every play yesterday.
I can't remember what inning it was, but there was a leadoff double. Then there was a line shot by Miggy. He made a sliding play, threw to third, tagged the guy out. I think it was Grossman, tagged him out at third, which was a great play. And then he made the next play to end the inning. I mean, like he's just terrific. I'm such a big fan of his. And you know, you just gotta leave him there and just keep. I will say this: I did hear in the pregame show driving down to the game yesterday, Hammy interviewing Tito, and Tito said. Hammy asked him the question about, you know, it seems like Giménez is really taking a hold of that shortstop position. And he said, yeah, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to leave him there. We told Ahmed that for the future, you know, the majority of your playing time is going to be in left field. We're going to have to live with the mistakes, but this is, you know, where he's going to be. So that's good. I mean, they're finally acknowledging it. I mean, if you recall, they never talked about it. He started on opening day in left field. He dropped that ball, and then they didn't play him again for another month out there. And then all of a sudden, one day, he was in left field again. So I'm glad they're finally openly discussing it. I don't know what took them so long, but I'm glad they
did. It's a poor job by the organization, and we are usually very bullish on Chernanetti and Tito, but this has been butchered since last year. And I'm not saying that last year you would have known that Jimenez was going to be this good at shortstop. He was young. He was changing leagues after the trade. But, you know, how come I knew? How come we've been talking about this, that Amed Rosario struggles at shortstop? He makes the routine plays, but he's got no range. And you want somebody dynamic at that position to be a game changer. I mean, we saw it yesterday on the other side. I mean, that was why the unnamed team went out and got Javi Baez. The guy made a couple of spectacular plays on double plays. He's got a cannon for an arm. Yeah, he's a windmill. He strikes out a lot, but he hit a home run. I mean, that was a Javi Baez type day. That's why they paid him. I'm not saying that. I think Jimenez hopefully can be even better than him down the road. And at least he puts the ball in play most times. But, you know, Ahmed and left, I mean, let's see what happens. Sure. But there's nothing better. There's nothing better. I mean, I'd rather Palacios be there and we trade Ahmed, but I'm not in charge.
The difference between the unnamed team winning that game yesterday and the Guardians winning that game yesterday was the plays that Baez made, the Daz Cameron home run saving.
Amazing
you know,
play.
Deep fly ball out there. You know, they made the big defensive plays and we didn't. It was pretty simple, you know. The two errors cost two runs. They lost by two runs. I mean, it was, you know, pretty cut and dry. You know, I think they know what they're doing now in terms of their roster construction when you bring up Richie Palacios. So I don't understand why, and again, this is way down the roster and probably not even worth discussing, but you don't need Yu Chang and Ernie Clement on this roster at the same time. It's completely pointless. I don't know what we're doing with Yu Chang anymore.
He never plays.
The
and
nicest
then
he, guy in the
he,
world.
And he played
He's
the
a terrific human being.
He played the other night. Yeah, he played the other night and couldn't even. I mean, he didn't touch the ball.
It's like, what are we doing already? And I understand. I think what they look at is, if Richie Palacios is going to be up here, we want him playing because he's still kind of learning how to play the outfield. So why not keep Chang up here, have Palacios and AAA playing the outfield every day and getting more reps? I guess I'm okay with that. I guess I'm okay with it, but I mean, you got two guys at the bottom. You don't need, that's another thing. You don't need both Chang and Mercado. Like, I know that Chang doesn't play the outfield, but they're both the right-handed bat you would start against the lefty, right? You don't need both of those guys.
What about a right-handed? What about a right-handed power bat? Can we get one of those?
RHPB.
Here's the thing. This conversation is, I'm not saying it's a waste of time, but because of this week and all these rainouts, the guys on the bench weren't going to play. The only time you were going to see them playing was against a tough left-hander, and that's what Skubal was on Friday. And luckily, they, you know, Ernie Clement, you know, drills him in the leg with a line drive, or else who knows what kind of game that would have been, because he was rolling. And then they're going to see him again. We'll do the pitching matchups later, but they're going to see him again this week. They're got to face Framber Valdez, who's one of the best lefties in the game, on Tuesday in Houston. So those are probably games where you'll see that right-handed lineup with Mercado and Ernie and maybe even Yu Chang. You never know.
You can't have all three of those guys in a lineup on the same day.
Man. I would hope not.
I know they got away with it once. But
yeah, that was because Naylor was out. You're right about that. But
right, it's because Naylor was out. But still, they're all still on the roster. I mean,
for now, this is what they have. I mean, there's, you know, if you, like you said, if you want to bring up Palacios, where is he going to play? Right now, yesterday's lineup should be the everyday lineup. And unless Ahmed just completely stains the sheets in the outfield to the point where you can't put him out there ever again, then you've got to trade him.
I don't understand why they can't. Like, listen, I know analytics is such an important part of the game, but like, do we really need platoons all the time? Can't they just like one day just be like, hey, you know what? We're gonna let Stephen Kwan face a lefty. You know, we're gonna let Naylor.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, just play those nine guys, and every once in a while, give them a day off. It's not like it's not like you're loaded on the bench. You know what I mean? Like,
you load up.
Who's really you load up? You party? Like I love Ernie. Good utility man.
Yes,
sure. Yu Chang. Maley and Mercado. I mean, those guys, when do you need to have those guys start? Do you know what I'm saying?
You really don't. Like I said, if I'm guessing, Mercado will be playing Tuesday. If I had to
especially
guess, over Kwan.
The way Kwan has been.
Right, and look, they're figuring Steven out a little bit. He got off to an amazing start. I still love his at-bats. I still think there's something great there, and it's coming, but he's 24. I mean, he's first time in the bigs. He barely played in AAA last year, so it's going to be a little bit of peaks and valleys for a kid like that, but I love the way he plays. I like that Tito moved him down in the order a little bit to give him a little breather, but hopefully this week with some consistent games, because we know this. They're playing three in Houston Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that roof closes, so they're going to play, thank goodness. So they get into a little bit of a rhythm, and maybe the offense can be a little bit more consistent. That's not going to be easy. I mean, the Astros are the second-best pitching team in the American League. So, but at least they're going to play some baseball and not have this one day on, one day off, rain delays. I mean, it's been rough. This week sucked.
Yeah.
On a lot of levels.
Especially for you and I. It was good for Saturday night because the rain out, because we had the big Campbell affair, which was fantastic. A great time was had by all.
Man,
shout out to the Bilski family.
So you are one social butterfly, you and the wife, man. Every Saturday night, it seems like you got something.
Listen, it's hard work over here. No, you know what? This was like the last of for a while, so it was all good. It was a stone groove for sure. Great time. It was amazing, but the long and the short of it is they have to play. They have to play. I'm so sick of these nights where you and I are like dying when there's no game to watch.
Oh yeah, no. Saturday night, I was I had everything planned out perfectly, and early dinner was great, and then there was no game. So, what can you do? By the way, shout out to a P1 listener and friend of the show, Zach Meisel. He and his wife, Laurel, had a bouncing baby boy last week. So congratulations to the Meisel family on the birth of their son. Pretty cool.
Absolutely. And you know what? Zach deserves it. And obviously Laurel as well. But Zach really, when he wrote the story in The Athletic about the birth of his child and the story of his father. And I did not know that he had lost his father at a young age. It was even younger than you and I lost our dad. And so, obviously stuff like that for me and you, we really hits home.
But, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Good stuff. And, shouts to the Meisel family and hope that everything goes well. And the baby sleeps right away, long hours, and doesn't cry out my way.
Right. Long hours at night, not during the day.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast.
Got on past that, by
the way. Guardians Cast, brought to you by our friends at BreakingT.com and, of course, the Center for Advanced Dentistry here on a Monday. Guardians go 1-3 this week. Two bad losses to the Reds where the offense was asleep. Who was the kid that shut us down the first day? Connor Overton. That was ridiculous. And
never heard his name in my life, and we couldn't touch him.
No, but the team sits at 17-20, six back of the Twins. The executive producer pointed out last night via chat and text that, man, do the Twins ever lose? I think they just swept four from the Royals. Kansas City's a disgrace. It was like 6-0 yesterday in the eighth inning, and they lost.
Let's sidebar this for a second. That Royals team gets a World Series championship, goes back-to-back years in the World Series. How that happened is unreal, but they did. They built through the draft, and all of those guys with all those high draft picks panned out. And, that model, worked for Houston, it worked for the Cubs, unfortunately. The Royals now, like, Dayton Moore is the general manager. I think they bumped him up to president. We are, Carlos Santana, probably in my top 10 all-time favorite Cleveland Indians.
Oh, yeah, love him.
Love the man.
He's hitting like 130.
When they gave him 2 years, you and I laughed. I couldn't believe he was getting a major league contract when everyone was getting nothing. And they gave him 2 years, and I think it was,
17 and a half.
Yeah, he's done. And I know they want him there for leadership, and God bless Carlos and his agent for getting that extra scratch. But they have gone through and drafted like a million pitchers high in the first round over the last, or the, you know, first and second round over the last few years, and not one of them has been good. Have you noticed that? Like, Bubich has been eh. Brady Singer's back in the minors because he's been bad. Who was the other kid they drafted?
Brad Keller.
Daniel
Lynch.
Trash. I mean, Daniel Lynch.
The list goes on and on. They've got a lot of them.
But and their lineup, everybody other than Benintendi, who they, you know, stole in a trade, none of these guys, you know.
Perez has been hurt, and he hasn't been good. And Merrifield's numbers are way down.
That's what I was just going to say. They held Whit Merrifield way too long. He had major trade value a couple years ago when they had, and they didn't need him. They held him too long. And that's kind of a cautionary tale if you think about our situation here in Cleveland. You know, it's a different situation because Merrifield was not like a highly touted guy and he kind of peaked late. But you can't, sometimes you, when you're not competing, and you're not contending, and you want to build and do, let's build around this guy, whatever. You can't hold guys too long in certain instances. Now, you look at Mike Clevinger, for example. They knew exactly when to get rid of him. I don't know if you saw this yesterday.
Yeah, I saw
Clevinger
it.
Went back
on the injured list. Yep.
And I saw this clip over the weekend with Ken Rosenthal talking about the Padres. This didn't even come into my head until now. Clevinger's a free agent at the end of this year. They essentially gave us
a giant haul.
Let's go back again. Josh Naylor, who's now our first baseman every day. Owen Miller, who's now our second baseman every day. And these guys are hitting fourth and fifth in our lineup. Cal Quantrill, arguably I'll say our number three starter. Love him. We love him, right? Yeah. Your starting catcher in Austin Hedges and your potential starting second or shortstop of the future in Gabriel Arias. All for a guy who basically has been on the injured list 85% of the time that he's been in that franchise.
And lefty Joey Cantillo.
Oh, and right, who, by the way, is part of that unbelievable rotation in Akron that one of these days we got to break down. So sometimes you got to know when to cut bait and not hold too long. And the Royals are getting seriously burned by that because Merrifield, they couldn't get anything for him at this point worthwhile.
It's crazy, and that was a great trade, and that's where our organization really shines, is in those types of deals. You hope that that's it, and that there aren't any other giant overhaul trades where, you know, you're sending one of your better people out. Now you got a young enough roster. I still think Ahmed Rosario is going to be moved at some point, maybe this year, because it's just a log jam with young guys, and you could get something for him. You're not going to get a haul like you got for Clevinger, but it's sad for Clev because we like him and he's a really good pitcher, but he's always hurt. And that was a fleecing by Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff because that's a lot of guys from on our roster from one team in one move.
It's like the Padres have supplemented our entire roster through those three trades over between the Brad Hand deal, you know, the original Brad Hand deal, and then you have the Franmil Reyes trade with Bauer, and then this third trade. I don't know if you ended up reading it or not, but and I got to give the Athletic major props. Peter Gammons wrote this long piece.
Petter
over the Petter the Dalai Lama. The guy's the best.
How old do you think he is right now, Peter Gammons? Got to be in his 80s, right?
And Bob Ryan are got to be both in their 80s at this point, right?
I would think so. Yeah.
I'm gonna you look that up while I talk. I want to know. But there was a huge article basically talking about how our franchise kind of came to be in this market, and kind of talked about in the 90s, and it was the perfect storm, and then the Browns came back, and LeBron, and talking about how these major trades have shaped this franchise over the 20 plus years, one being the original, you know, time that they decided that they needed to, you know, do an overhaul, which was trading Bartolo Colon and getting back Cliff Lee and Brandon Phillips and Grady Sizemore, and kind of how the next wave that they learned from their mistake when they traded Robbie Alomar to the Mets and did not get back what they needed to get back, and they took Matt Lawton, and which was a mistake, and all that stuff, and then building basically up to look at what the Clevinger trade has done for this franchise now, and you know, the constant continuity, the front office, and these guys being groomed, and they do things a certain way, and then all of these guys under the Hart Shapiro tree who have gone on to have great success. It was a very cool piece, and if you haven't had my subscription, I would definitely tell you to read it.
I'm going to have to check it out. By the way, Gammons is 77, by the way.
77. The executive producer, by the way, sent that in the text. I don't know if you saw it.
What about 480 in 77?
They're lucky I didn't see Fannie Lewis in that car.
Let's get back to important matters here. Gary, we could do Gary D resets all day. Guy was just an absolute giant in the radio industry. Aaron Civale pitched well the other night. So what are we thinking here? He's going to start this week against the unnamed team again, which is good because he seems to.
On Wednesday. I see Wednesday.
No, well, not now. You got it, McKenzie. Oh, right. You want him pitching against Detroit. That's who he pitches well against. And in that big ballpark on Thursday night, you want him pitching in that game. But he left with cramping the other night. Thank goodness that's all it was. But man,
is that confirmed, the cramping? Because I was at the game, and what happened was he threw the pitch, and then he immediately grabbed it like his left. His glutes. I mean, he was pointing right at his butt.
That's what the radio Hammy said was cramping.
Okay.
So,
okay.
If he pitches Thursday, but he looked good again. Now, again, I know it's Detroit's lineup, which is a bleep show, but you know, he was at least in the strike zone again, and mixing and matching. You know, we're all concerned about Bieber's velocity, and you know he battled through seven innings yesterday, not having his A stuff. But Civale at least bought himself some more time, and then hopefully another start Thursday where he'll do what he did this past Friday night.
Yeah, when we discussed this last week, I said I think he's got two more starts in him before they make some sort of decision on what they're going to do. And you know, he's never going to be a big strikeout guy, but he only gave up three hits and six in the third, three strikeouts and one walk. But he was pounding the zone pretty well, you know. It was early, I think in the first inning they put a couple guys on, but the fact that he was able to get out of the first unscathed and then kind of cruise the rest of the way, you know, the first inning has been his big problem. He's been giving up home runs, as we discussed, you know, in previous pods. He's been giving up home runs almost every game in the first inning, so it was good to see him get back. I'd like to see more of this, obviously, because, you know, this was still his first really good start, so it was definitely an encouraging sign. But as we know, you got guys in AAA right now who, between Pilkington and Peyton Battenfield, two guys, by the way, who came over via trades as kind of throw-ins, those guys are ready if need be. So you know, again, we've talked about this many, many times, but you have to, if this team's going to succeed, the starting pitching is going to have to be better than it's been this year.
Yeah,
and
no,
it was good to see Civale get off.
The pitching has not been, you know, I think it was Tito after the game yesterday saying, we still, the way we have to win is we got to pitch and we got to play defense. We're so young in the lineup that we can't expect to score 9 or 10 runs and have to do that every day. And it's still built.
We got to win 4-2 or 3-2. That's how we're built.
That's how, right. And the pitching's been a little bit disappointing. I mean, even yesterday, you know, you can't start the game off with your ace walking their leadoff hitter. You know, he was all over the place at the start of the game yesterday. Now, Shane Bieber ended up with excellent numbers. I mean, double-digit strikeouts, seven innings, three runs. One of them was unearned based off of the play by Naylor. So that's a good day. Is it the dominant Bieber we expected to see? No. And the velocity is an issue. I don't, you know.
Still down. Yep. He was peaking at 91 yesterday.
Well, 92 on TV. But again, you know.
In the stadium, it was 91. And, you know, when he starts now, it's like the first thing I'm doing is I'm constantly looking at his velocity to see where it is.
Right. Still, sad, but still struck out 10. But, yeah, the pitching has to be better. I mean, that's still how, like I said, two best pitching teams in the American League in terms of runs allowed are the Yankees and the Astros, and those are the two best teams record-wise. You know, you still have to prevent runs. And the Twins have surprised everybody with how decent their pitching has been, on top of Buxton just lighting it up. And so that's why they're in first place. But, you know, I'm happy for Savali. It was good to see. I like that he's facing this team again on Thursday. See how it goes. Man, Bieber really did bounce back yesterday and ended up with a pretty good outing. And we bailed Fieto out in the first inning. That Franmil at bat was abysmal.
Can we talk about him for a minute?
Please. Go ahead. That was brutal. That was one of the worst at bats I've ever seen. Andrew Zellman said the same thing.
We were back to back tweets. I have to say that he came up with the bases loaded, and the first pitch, I was with my boy Scotty Miller, and the first pitch, I was like, he's swinging at this no matter what. And he threw a slider, and he literally screwed himself into the ground. And so this Fido was like, okay, I'm not going to throw him any. Like, it's like Franmil's like, I'm looking for a first pitch fastball. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to destroy it. The next pitch was the exact same pitch, and again, he was way out in front. And then the third swing, he ended up on his knee. It was so bad. He's back in his head with all of this, with all of his tinkering. But I will say this, after that horrible first, he took two fly balls to the wall yesterday.
Great swings.
He barreled up that one that would have tied the game. I think it was in the seventh or eighth. I don't remember who, I watch every inning of it.
It was the seventh inning. He hit it to the warning track. Yeah.
Yeah.
His last two swings were great. His last two swings were great.
Yeah. It sounded great off the bat. And I was like, man. And you said to me, you're like, man, maybe there is something to this ball being dead. But it was a chilly day yesterday. You know, I think the second one gets out of the, and it was the eighth inning. I think the second one gets out, on the hot day. You know, if this is, the summer, that ball's out of here. But he can't, if this offense is going to be anything close to what we need it to be, and I know they've done a good job, but they're very streaky, Franmil can't be this bad. I mean, this lineup is constructed where he's hitting cleanup and is the
producing
power guy.
Right.
Producing, and you're right behind Jose. And, I still don't know why anyone is giving Jose anything at this point, but, that's neither here nor there.
Oh, Owen Miller's been really good. I mean, the two-run homer to tie the game on Tuesday, I believe, against the Reds was an unbelievably great at-bat. And then, a big hit to send the game to extra innings. It was huge. I mean, we talk so much about Jimenez and Naylor and Kwan. Owen Miller's been awesome. He's been real good, too. But again, I don't want Owen Miller. I don't want him hitting cleanup all year. That's just still that. Franmil Reyes should be delivering. He should be. What was the last home run he hit?
I will look that up.
It's been a while.
Real quick.
I mean, yesterday he deserved two. He had two barrels, as they say, and maybe the wind, maybe the cold weather held them both back. It was one of those days. But I think
three on the season.
Right. Based off of those, who did I see yesterday has nine home runs? In baseball, who did I just see yesterday has nine?
His last home run was on Saturday, May 7th. So we're closing in on 3 weeks, and he's only has one in the month of May, which is May 23rd. He has one home run since April 23rd. We're recording this on May 23rd. He has one home run over a month.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done. But I'm hopeful here, especially going to Houston. They're going to play. There's no weather. There's, maybe those. If he, hopefully, there's some momentum after those last two at bats yesterday, and he heats up this week because those were two good swings. Took it the other way. Wasn't trying to do too much. Wasn't stepping in the bucket because that first at bat in the first inning was just so costly. If he just would have put the ball in play, that would have been another run.
Well, one more thing before we get into the pitching matchups, because I know we got to run. Josh Donaldson's trash. That's all I want to say.
Oh, yeah. What about Brian Shaw yesterday?
Oh, okay. There's one other thing we need to discuss.
Come on, Tito. You use Hentges one inning too late. What are we doing
Sam's
here?
Sam's been great this year. I know you want to stay away from Trevor Stephan every single day. I get it. D'Lo said you didn't pitch him on Saturday because you had no game. He was fresh. D'Lo Santos pitched well Friday night. I enjoy it. Did you know, Tito and Carl Willis, that there are other guys in the bullpen not named Brian Shaw that can be used? Why in the fuck is he coming into one-run games anymore?
I want to get him some work.
It's ridiculous. Every game, the first guy warming is him, no matter what the situation. It's a one-run game. You're throwing your worst. He's below league replacement. He's your worst reliever, and he continues to pitch in these high-leverage situations. It drives me fucking insane, of course. Seeing Javi Baez hit a home run at my stadium off of Brian Shaw, I wanted to strangle myself. Please, Tito, for the love of God, I know you love the guy. If he's going to be on this roster, pitch him when we're down 7-1. Can we just leave it there, please?
Well, here's a guy like Nick Sandlin needs to get going. I would have rather seen him in that spot. He hasn't pitched either.
He hasn't been great either lately either. But at least he's young, and you're learning about him.
Right.
We know what Shaw is.
Yeah, for sure. All right, real fast, BreakingT.com/dairy. Josh Naylor. The Josh Naylor shirts, by the way, are being sold. I can see it. It's happening. I've got confirmation because you've gone to BreakingT.com/dairy, and you've bought the All the Smoke Josh Naylor T-shirt in blue. It's amazing. You want to get the King Kwan shirt, any of the Jose Ramirez gear, go to BreakingT.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y. Takes you right to the Cleveland collection. Maybe they'll make a Jadeveon Clowney shirt. He back with the Browns. Maybe there'll be a Malachi Branham shirt one day once the Cavs draft him at 14. I don't know, and I don't really care. But, hey, BreakingT.com/dairy is what I care about because they've got all your Guardians gear. I know there's people wearing Indian stuff still, and I get it. You're not used to the name yet, and you just haven't had a chance to go to the team shop or wherever. Well, at least get the All the Smoke Josh Naylor shirt at BreakingT.com/dairy. That's D-E-R-Y. You got to do that today. You ordered yours, correct? Did you finally order it?
I did. When you texted me last night about how many shirts you sold, I ordered one. So you can add one to the pile.
There you go. All right. This week, three games, all 8:10 Eastern time starts for the Guardians. Should we be calling them the Guards? I heard Hammy call them the Guards the other day.
It seems like they're going with the Guards. Like that's going to be the nickname, and I'm fine with that.
All right. I don't know what I'm fine with anymore. Let's just win some games. 3 with the Astros, 4 with the unnamed team here in beautiful Southeast Michigan. I will be there Friday night. Was supposed to go Thursday, can't go now. It's going to go Thursday, Friday. Might be Friday, Sunday for me.
You got to go to at least 2.
Working on Sunday.
I go to 2 out of every 3 games, although I guess it's a lot easier for me to get downtown than it is for you to get downtown.
Shout out to Eric. Excuse me. Shout out to Eric Lines and the fine folks at the Union Wood Shop.
Are you getting those seats?
Oh, yeah.
Those seats are I've sat in them before. They're great.
We'll be there Friday evening. Yes. Enjoyable evening had by all. Tristan McKenzie tonight against right-hander. I'm sorry. Luis Garcia. I can't even talk. Hold on a second, Todd.
You okay there, buddy?
Need some water.
I can tell you this. If they get one out of the 3 in Houston, I'll be happy.
One out of 3? That's all you want?
I'm anticipating at least. I just don't see that. Houston is a wrecking ball, and we never play well there. Although, you know what? The executive producer and I in 2017 went down there. And we saw them sweep the Astros. We went to 2 of the 3 games, and they won. It was great. But since then, I don't think we've won a series down there.
Yeah, they're 27-15, best record in the AL West by a game and a half over the Angels. And 12-5 at home. They're a good team. I mean, Bregman's back. Altuve hit a leadoff homer again yesterday. He's the one. He's got 9 home runs, Jose Altuve. 9.
Unreal.
Crazy. Luis Garcia for the Astros tonight, 3.35 ERA for him against McKenzie. Tomorrow, Zach Plesac against Framber Valdez, who's allowed 4 runs total in his last 3 starts. His ERA is 2.68. Christian Javier on Wednesday, 2.87 ERA against Cal Quantrill. So we're not seeing Verlander, but, man, the Astros' rotation's really good. And then Thursday through Sunday in Detroit, I believe it's 7-10, 7-10, 4-05, and 110, I believe.
Yeah, no, 140.
That's a 140 Sunday?
140 tilts, yeah.
Savali and Skubal on Thursday. Same matchup as yesterday. Bieber and Fajardo on Friday. McKenzie and Elvin Rodriguez, rookie right-hander who's coming up tonight for them. And then Bo Brisky and Zach Plesac on Sunday. So with all those guys on Detroit, Rodriguez, Mize, Manning, Pineda, all injured. It's a lot of young pitchers, and we saw one yesterday in Fajardo that I thought we bailed out. I mean, that first inning, you've got to score more than one run, and he ended up pitching pretty well and got his first major league win. So won't be easy in Houston and then coming to Detroit. You know, we'll see what happens. But I don't know. I'm not as down on the team as some people after yesterday's loss. I mean, my gosh, three balls to the wall, one brought back. Easily could have been a win yesterday. Easily.
Yeah, you make the defensive plays, and it's a different game. So, there you go.
All right, well, that'll do it for us. Another edition of the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast on the Evergreen Podcast Network, waitingfornextyear.com, Center for Advanced Dentistry, CFAD.net, and then our friends at BreakingTea.com, Breaking Tea t-shirts at BreakingTea.com/dairy. Let's get it done this week. At least we got some games. We know we're going to be watching the next three nights, Todd. Thank God.
Yes, and you're in charge this weekend, since you'll be there.
So yes.
It's on you.
All right. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks for listening and following us and subscribing and whatever you do, and find us wherever you get your podcasts. We are out of room and out of here.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.